Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. Science, technology, and engineering developments influence almost every aspect of our lives and our government. In fact, many of the government's most costly and complex acquisition efforts require the development of cutting-edge technologies and their integration into large and complex systems. Though well known for its financial and performance audits of the federal government, the Government Accountability Office, GAO, often encounters technical issues related to the government's use of science and technology. As a result, its science and technology experts provide balanced and objective assessments of technologies in the context of important public policy issues. These technology assessments provide thorough analysis of critical technological innovations that affect society, the environment, and the economy. These assessments explain the consequences that a specific technology may have on federal agencies and departments, and their wider impacts on American society. What are the key strategic priorities for GAO's Center for Science, Technology, and Engineering? And what are technology readiness assessments? We will explore these questions and so much more with our very special guest, Dr. Timothy Persons, Chief Scientist at the U.S. Government Accountability Office. Tim, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Michael.
So before we delve into specific initiatives, would you provide us with an overview of the history and evolving mission of the U.S. Government Accountability Office and its Center for Science, Technology, and Engineering?
All right. So GAO, in general, its history started in 1921. It was the and has and remains the supreme audit institution of the United States. So our DNA is back to financial auditing in those years through the New Deal and so on and FDR. But really in the 1970s, we evolved to start doing what is now the predominant amount of our work, which is the performance audit. You know, what's broken, what's wrong, how are we doing on various government programs, departments, agencies, projects, and so on. And so that really came about, that evolution for GAO started in the 1970s. And it was around that time, because you started asking those more interesting questions, not just the financial. We still do that, by the way. It's still a very important part of our work. We write the standards on government auditing. It's critical. But in the performance auditing, which is now the major piece of things, you're auditing a lot of things that are scientific and technical. Mm-hmm. And it really began the evolution there in science. Really started with social science at that time. Mm-hmm. And so we began hiring social scientists in that era. And then, of course, as you start looking at the evolution of a lot of what we think of as historically significant technical revolutions and things, the idea of NASA and the space shuttle and all the various key elements of warfare now in the Department of Defense and all the things are just so high tech now, we did start hiring engineers and physical scientists and things like that. And so that's where our Center for Science, Tech, and Engineering came to pass, and where we now have dozens of folks working across the institution and working on key technical reports of interest to the Congress.
So that's a nice transition to your specific role. Would you tell us more about the duties and responsibilities as chief scientist at GAO? What's under your purview? What portfolio?
So in my remit and as the chief scientist is really across anywhere science and technology shows up in GAO's work and support for the Congress. So that's really in three key ways. The first way is where I do lead specialized studies in science and technology of key scientific issues. So we, particularly in that domain, we now do a mission called technology assessments, which used to be done by the Office of Technology Assessment, which lived between 1972 and 1995. So leading those particularly technical studies where I need my staff engineers and physical scientists and so on to be able to address the questions Congress is asking. That's the first part. The second part is I'm also there to consult with the vast array of other mission teams in GAO where science and technology is found. It may not be the report itself is so tech-heavy or scientifically centric and so on, but they may have components of that. And so that's also an equally important body of work to make sure that all of GAO's mission teams are well served by our talents or insights or expertise, whether it's in environmental issues or health issues or weapons issues or what have you. And so, and then the third piece is really where we're in engineering best practice like guides. And one of our recent guides that came out was the Tech Readiness Guide. But before that, we have a scheduling guide and a lifecycle cost estimating guide. And so that's really the operations research component of things, just to have that methodology and criteria down for how you even evaluate programs toward greater success or better outcomes. And it really helped the Congress in their oversight, insight, and foresight mission.
So, you know, can we, could you give us a definition, the GAO's definition of technology assessment?
We define technology assessment as the thorough and balanced analysis of technology innovation on society, the environment, the economy, and really looking at those ethical, legal, social, and policy implications therein. Mm-hmm. So that's a very broad type definition, but it's intentionally so. We're not there just to do sort of a Consumer Reports piece on saying, well, here's this widget and here's how mature it is. As important as that may be by itself, we really are trying to support the legislative body or our clients in terms of how do you think about this or how to frame this or here's what could be coming down the line with these technological revolutions that we now live in. Oftentimes we're like the frog boiled slowly in the water. We don't know it's come upon us, and yet here we are, and we're so technology and innovation dependent on things. And so we're trying to really move in that direction to support Congress in that way.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, regarding your role and responsibilities, what are your top, say, three management or challenges that you face, and how have you sought to address them?
I think that the first key challenge for us is scope. So the idea of scope is a key challenge in that. And so really that's where we hire great folks, and you it's important for you to recognize yourself and know your limitations and to be able to fill in those gaps of things that you don't know, get the best and brightest to help you out in that regard. Managing scope is just a key thing. We do other clients as well. They'll often ask for things that we just cannot deliver in any even shorter term period of time. So that's a key thing that we have to do. The second thing is just there's the breadth or the scope issue. There's also getting deep on things as well. And really helping out with these, what I call the insight domain of supporting Congress, is important to not only be able to work across things, but also have depth as well. The connotation, this has come out in the STEM circles, but it's the T person, right? The idea that the top is the breadth and the leg of the T, as it were, is the depth as well. And so that's the second key challenge. And then the third is really inculcating what I call the foresight dimension into these things. It's particularly important for our technology work, but I think it's important on anything we do to say, look, here's where it is now, and here's just the implications as you move forward. Mm-hmm. That's not, of course, the same as predicting the future, and so there's oftentimes we have to demythologize some of those aspects where they think about foresight means you're putting the Swami hat on and you're trying to predict the future. That's not the case. But we all do this. We practice risk management ourselves, and we try and think about how can we better serve our government by that way to think about these things, especially in the emergent and emerging technology domains.
Mm-hmm. So what surprised you most since taking over this role?
I think that the biggest surprise is the gap in our capabilities nationally to deal with our complex adaptive systems issues. So I think the biggest surprise, and yet it's an opportunity, is as we try and reduce that capability gap from, look, our current institutions and systems can operate and think this way. How might we be able to move it where we've got to move that linear into more of an exponential to do that?
And you know, given your background as an academic and a PhD and then your work in public sector, what are the characteristics of an effective leader, and what leadership principles guide your efforts and how you lead?
Sure. So I particularly tend toward servant leadership. Sure. My mentors had basically taught me and said, look, at your junior phases of your career, the idea of your competition being your peers and you wanna get promoted and do that, it has that competitive sense. Your job is to help everyone else win. My job is to hire some very talented people, which indeed I have, and then empower them and have them win. And then, of course, do GAO's key mission, serving the Congress in our key way. I like also in this answer GAO's key criteria itself, or its own institutional values, are accountability, integrity, and reliability. Mm-hmm. So I think holding yourself accountable, being accountable to others is important. Having integrity, you just can't. That's a priceless attribute. And then being reliable, if you say you're going to do something, then do it.
What are the key strategic priorities for GAO's Center for Science, Technology, and Engineering? I will ask Dr. Timothy Persons, Chief Scientist at the U.S. Government Accountability Office, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.